from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Twin sisters Melora and Melanie Green share a job title as co-executive directors of the African American Art and Culture Complex in San Francisco. And they share a vision for making it known as a center of black joy for artists and community members in the Bay Area. Then at 10:30, we talk to Oakland-based travel and space tourism writer Valerie Stimmick, who authored Lonely Planet's Dark Skies, a practical guide to astrotourism about the best spots for stargazing across the globe and how to watch the Geminid meteor shower this Friday. That's all next, after the news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Melora and Melanie Green share a job title as co-executive directors of the African American Art and Culture Complex. That's in San Francisco's Western Addition neighborhood, and they also share a birthday as twins. But most notably, perhaps, they share a passion for showcasing black art and artists. Opening doors to underrepresented artists is important to the sisters and informs the community-driven mission behind the complex that they're shaping into what they call a center of black joy. Joining me now is part of Forum's first-person series, which profiles local innovators, leaders, and others who make the Bay Area unique, are Melora Green and Melanie Green. And welcome to both of you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Glad to have you. And I should mention that you were born 1 minute apart. Who's the older one?
Melanie. Tell me everything I know.
And just to give some people background here, I mean, you've been making quite a difference and certainly a presence here in the Bay Area generally and in San Francisco specifically, but you're out of Memphis, as they say.
Yes, we are. Born and raised.
And let's do a little comparison here. How does San Francisco stack up compared to Memphis?
It's very close. I mean, in terms of the passion that people have around the legacy, for Memphis, it's food, it's culture, it's, you know, the blues, it's really the start of R&B and soul music. It's also a place for gospel. And here, it's, you know, power movement music, it's movement. It is the culture around people finding their authentic space and their authentic selves and the love of nature. This place really holds on to that. And I think that when you come here, you really can feel it and embody it.
Just on some simple comparisons, you know, we both have trolleys. We both have a very diverse group of people that make our regions who we are. I will say that it's almost like a yin and yang experience. You know, Melanie and I grew up in Memphis understanding the power of art because it's around you. It's all you know and all you do. And so in Memphis, you get this opening of expressing yourself fully as a black person. And I would say in the Bay Area, that's true too. But here you fully come out of yourself. There's something about the Bay Area that...
Less inhibiting, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. I think it's less inhibiting. And I don't even know if it's that. But there's a spirit here that allows you to... You can't be here too long without being yourself. For instance, Melanie and I are from Memphis. Preacher's kids. Grew up Baptist, non-denominational. But it wasn't until we moved to San Francisco that we... And it took years that we felt comfortable even coming out as queer women, not even knowing if that would be a reality.
Was that in part just Memphis, or did it have a lot to do with the church and, you know, your father's role in your lives?
Well, you know, our father was fully expressed. He was the audio engineer for Isaac Hayes. He was definitely in the arts. So, you know, I think you can't be in the arts without having a queering experience or an understanding. But I think that even with that, there are definitely people in Memphis who are out. So that's not the direction I want to go in. But there's an essence here where you undeniably, there's an honesty that happens in the Bay Area that's different from the honesty that happens in the South.
Different type of honesty.
Yeah, it's a different type of honesty and calling out. Mm-hmm. That elders will look you in your eye and search your eyes in Memphis for you to speak. Other people search your eyes to see who you are.
That's a very interesting distinction, mm-hmm. and one that I'll have to ruminate about. Well, you know, what you're doing over there at the complex is really wonderful. I want people to know
about it
because it has a broad, wide swath to it. I mean, it's intellectual, it's cultural, it's historical. Just last night I went by the African Diaspora Museum and special place because Belva Davis and one of our great icons here at KQED, and she had so much to do with spurring that. But you have a lot to do with spurring just the awareness of what you call black joy, and I want to get into that and what you mean by that. I mean, a lot of that is historical. You got a Burial Clay Theater, for example, and I love that. Burial Clay was a friend of mine and a student of mine.
Wow, we should talk offline about that.
I'd like to devote an hour to him alone.
We should.
Well, actually, let's talk about that for the at least for the nonce, because he did a play there, and it was The Rape of Ressie Taylor that was performed there. And there's a lot of that kind of stuff that's going on now. I just want to talk about, I mean, that isn't necessarily a joyful play. It's about a very serious topic about a black woman being raped, and really gets us back to a real story in 1944, I believe, right, in Alabama. So you're taking on very serious topics. But also the spirit of joy, how does that fit in with something as tragic as what I just described?
I think there's I'll let you share too, Malora, but I think the pinnacle of that is the freedom to express what is going on, the space to communicate that is framed around the language African-American, to have leadership, to have other artists and community partners and collaborators that might surround that project to be of African-American descent. I think that is the part that's powerful when we can roll back time and see where we weren't able to have that type of space.
So it's freedom you're talking about.
It is freedom.
And let me ask you about it. Let me push this a little further because there was a whole debate, I think Baraka started it to some extent, Mary Baraka, that black art should be for black people, for the black community. And then there were those who took a kind of countervailing view and said it should be for everybody. If there's black joy to be experienced in heritage and the work of black artists, it should be for the audience that's as broad as possible. Where do you stand on that?
I think there are two folds to that. And then I want to make sure that we create some distinction in the black joy topic. But black art itself as the creation, right, is what is the ownership. Now, after you get into the product of the art that's created, be it a song or a piece, yes, that is for everyone to enjoy. Now, there are some ritualistic pieces that should not be touched.
Almost sacred, huh?
Come on. And not even almost, completely, 100%. You mentioned MOAD, and Melanie and I have an exhibition there right now that we've co-curated. It opened last Wednesday, and it's called Don't Shoot, an Opus of the Opulence of Blackness. And there are some distinctions. If you read some of the wall text, it speaks to the truths around how to treat blackness, how to treat and respect black art, the black body, all of that. And that leans into the topic of black joy. You know, Melly and I have been in our leadership at the African American Art and Culture Complex for a little over 2 years. And that took some change management.
How'd that happen?
You know,
I mean, were you a package deal? You had to take both of you?
Of course.
You know, that's the way it is. But, you know, we didn't fall out of the sky. We've been affiliated with AAACC since 2005. I was the office manager there. Melanie managed some programs. We both ran the youth program for a summer and two quarters. And then for 5 years, I was the visual arts coordinator and then moved on to Soul Mars Cultural Center, did some business together on our own.
It's been a natural metamorphosis.
Yeah, I mean, some gaps in time, but it happened.
Can we go back to Black Joy for a minute? Because you've got a big celebration coming up on the 14th of December. Can you talk about that?
Yes, it's the Wakanda Winter Wonderland. And this was our take on, when we talk about Black Joy, how do we celebrate the holiday in a way that's more inclusive for the Black community?
Is that Kwanzaa too?
There are Kwanzaa elements. Yep. Kwanzaa is also celebrated at the African American Art and Culture Complex on December 28th. But Saturday. In terms of...
I'm sorry, I said the 14th. It's the 28th?
The 28th for Kwanzaa. That's our Kwanzaa programming.
That's separate.
But Wakanda Winter Wonderland
is this Saturday.
You know about the roots of Kwanzaa? It goes back to Ron Karenga. And, I mean, it's a fascinating story.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing with that is we can't fully even hold on to Kwanzaa because not everyone resonates with Kwanzaa in the Black community. So back to the Winter Wonderland, this is our opportunity to make it more inclusive for the Black community, for those who firmly celebrate Christmas, for those who are into Kwanzaa, for those who don't celebrate any of it at all, but they want to be surrounded in love and joy, do some community service.
So we have a toy giveaway. Services.
Well, you are all about community. Service.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's one of the reasons we wanted to have you here. I mean, you're working in neighborhoods. You're the blocks, basically, huh?
Pretty much. I mean, but that's what we've done over the years. Fillmore Corridor.
That's our home.
And we started with Ave Montague at the San Francisco Black Film Festival.
Well, we're not only talking about the arts here. We're talking about education, health. I mean, trying to really bring it all together synergistically.
That's Black Joy. The whole point of my bringing up, the reason why we took that on was because there were so many things we realized were not being, so many needs not being met and so much arrest in the spirit. So how do you get courageous and say, okay, if we're going to be the center of Black Joy, we have to be courageous enough to fail. We have to be courageous enough to get feedback we may not favor or want to hear about ourselves and our community. But this is like an in-home conversation.
You also have to be joyous, and you both are. If
No, you don't have to be joyous. You get to be sad. You get to have grief. You get to be
the whole
mad.
Gamut, the whole continuum of emotion.
Yes.
I got you.
And looking at the whole person.
Well, actually, speaking about the whole continuum, I want to get our listeners involved in this.
Yes, yes.
Love to have more time, but we're coming up on some time constraints here. I know you both have a radio show. You do for KPU, so you
know
last night.
Yes,
yeah, it's still going, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, we were on the air last night, KPO 89.5 FM.
Yeah,
you're
publicizing the rivals here.
It's all love.
That's for the people.
It's all about love and joy. Well, I want to ask listeners your thoughts and reflections on Bay Area representation of African-American arts in the Bay Area. Our two guests are all about curating those arts, and that's a big job, and also about extending so much into the community. They're making their presence felt, to put it mildly. I think it was in the Chronicle where they said you can always kind of spot them on the street. They talked about your hats, and they're a good example here, and your colorful shirts, and what else? I think there were a few other things that sort of were described about the way you look, the profiles you cut. I'd like to hear from listeners, though, and actually, you can join us now. Toll-free number, 866-733-6786. That number again, be part of the program, 866-733-6786. You can also, of course, get in touch with us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or email questions to or comments to forum@kqed.org or post them at kqed.org/forum. Please join us with Melanie and Melora Green, co-executive directors of the African-American Arts and Culture Complex. Thomas tweets, San Francisco African-American Arts and Culture Complex is a true cornerstone and gem of San Francisco. So much excellence has been showcased there. Special thanks to their Eugene E. White exhibit before his unfortunate passing this past February. And am I right? Is Reverend Arnold the head of your board?
Yes, he is.
Because we go way back, too.
We love him.
He's been such a great support and leader and a great space for us to develop in our leadership and has really, really just been a great, great.
I was trying to think of what else it was that kind of gives you your profile. Plaid shirts was what you mentioned too, right?
Did they say plaid shirt?
I know for Melora it's the socks. I know.
Oh yeah, my socks never match.
Oh boy.
But I have different designs. Today I'm wearing plaid for the people.
And here's a comment here's Alana. Tying into yesterday's forum discussion on code switching. We did talk second hour yesterday about code switching. Do these amazing women have to deal with this in dealing with traditionally white expressions of art and where and when black art can be displayed outside of their AAACC?
I'm so proud to say that one of the places I truly refuse to code switch is dealing in white spaces with art, because it's the one space that I must be full out and completely honest and authentic about the experience of African Americans and black folks in these institutions, and also making it plain where I feel that black people need to be more included.
You got to talk from the heart, leading. Right?
Yeah,
authentically
absolutely.
From the heart.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's bring a caller on here. Let's go, Linda, to you. Linda, join us. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Linda. I'm in San Francisco, not far from the complex. Just wanted to know, is Marcus Books going to be located there at any time, or what's the update on that?
Yeah, Marcus Books is a gem, and what we've been doing is finding creative ways to support Marcus Books. We just partnered with them for our holiday fair.
At one time, they were in Berkeley, too. I don't think they are.
They're
in the East Bay still?
Mm-hmm. They're still in the East Bay. But to fully answer your question, when we first came on in our leadership, we did have a conversation with Marcus Bookstore about what it could be like for them to be there, and it just was not the right time. That doesn't mean that there won't be a presence of black books. That does not mean that there won't be support from us. But we are definitely doing what we can, and I know that the family wants to definitely have some roots still in the Fillmore.
Let me thank Linda for the call and go
thank
right
you,
to
thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you, Queen.
Another call from Oakland. Nasheme, morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Ibeji. It's Nasheme.
Hey, how are you, Queen? How are you? Good to hear your voice.
How are you? I'm so proud and happy to hear that you guys are getting recognized the way that you are.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
I'm the chair of the California Arts Council. I was just reelected, girl. So
yes, yeah. Congratulations.
Yes.
That's a win for us all.
Mm-hmm. I just want to just say that Melanie and Melora have really made a huge impact on the Bay Area. From the time that I first met you guys, you've just done all kinds of very interesting and quirky and forward-thinking things. And I'm so proud and happy to hear that you're getting the kind of recognition that you deserve. And the other thing that they're known for is their bow ties.
And can I ask you, I heard you called Queen. Are you called Queen generally?
Yes. You should all be. Black women should be called Queen.
I thought it was mainly Queen Latifah, but it shows how ignorant I am.
No. Let's get to the roots. That's an acknowledgement of the vibration of melanin, and we just thank you for what you do.
Yeah.
And so when we see another black woman, we acknowledge them as Queen.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You can speak for yourself, Nasheme.
Nasheme?
I don't know, Queen.
We thank you for joining us.
Queen
Nasheme, excuse me. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
A lot of services provided over in your complex. You're teaching karate, for example? Either of you
now,
do that?
Now, we are not teaching karate.
That would be
it
classic.
It would be an epic fail, but Larkin Bokido Karate is a legacy organization at AAACC, and one of our great loves, Mr. Jim Larkin, started this unit, and it's one of the most powerful, supported, diverse programs we have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to see black men really sharing safety and gentleness and compassion and confidence, and just watching how they navigate the different emotions that come up when you have to find another way to push through anger or confusion and all. It's just really, really beautiful. So just from us to them, thank you so much.
From me to you, can you talk about plans for 2020, exhibitions, projects you're excited about? But also, I know you've put a lot of emphasis on bringing youth into the picture. So talk about curating there, too, if you could.
Youth into the picture, yes. But I really want to share with everybody about our co-working space.
Yes.
We're creating a creative co-working space. That's their Black Joy element, mm-hmm. where how do we...
Creating anything or everything or
no,
whatever?
Yeah, creating anything, yes, in the artistic realm, but really how do you create space in equity for everyone? So we have a 34,000 square foot space, and it's underutilized. Mm. So one of the things that we wanted to do was find a better way to offer space for business, for workshops, for classes, for development. And we're going to use our space for that. So launching probably February of 2020. And we also have a VR lab, mm-hmm. Light Cipher Lab, in partnership with RGA right here in San Francisco. And really taking a stand for adult and senior programs. We are known for youth programs, but we want the adults to know that this space is for you. We want our seniors to know that this space is for you. And we're looking for the geeks.
Yes.
We also have a program, I think, called The Luxury of Being Black, running through the first 4th of January.
That's an exhibition right now.
Yeah, what about
yes,
that?
Yes, that's with Brian Keith Thomas. Mm-hmm. It's a really, I would say that exhibition is a ceremony. You can mm-hmm. go in on your own and just stand in silence and be with the work. It totally spiritually flows. There are a couple of interactive opportunities. I won't spoil it, but there are a couple of interactive opportunities inside the exhibition space. It's in the Sergeant Johnson Gallery on the first floor, mm-hmm. and you can go by any time Tuesday through Saturday between noon and 6 mm-hmm. To see the exhibition. And Brian Keith Thomas is one of our favorite artists. He really includes African spirituality, American context, mm-hmm. and a lot of different, I would say, perspectives of wisdom.
And you're like Live Memorial. You welcome all people who want to
absolutely.
Come in. Right?
Absolutely.
Because here's a comment from a tweet from Rhoda, who writes, I'm a Filipino-American, and I'm thankful for any persons of any background who exemplify love and inclusiveness through art and events. My heart is full upon learning about these wonderful ladies.
Oh, thank you so much.
Please appreciate come by. That. There's a rich history of the Filipino mm-hmm. community in the Fillmore.
Yes.
We've been having conversations about how to bring both of our communities together. So come by and see us. Don't be a stranger.
Oh, yes.
Anything else you want to talk about in terms of why people should come see you close off here?
I just want to make sure to do a proper invitation for this Saturday, December 14th. 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. is our toy services giveaway. Come through, invite families who you know need resources. This is also an opportunity for older youth to come and have a good time, youth and families. And then 4 to 8 is our night market. We really want people to come and enjoy the holiday spirit, shop and buy from Black merchants.
And I'll say two things. Mm-hmm. We are.
This is Melora Green now.
This is Melora,
yes.
Right?
Distinguished,
yes.
Because
you got it now.
She's the one with the glasses.
That's right.
And she's the one with the nose rings.
That's
too.
Right. Two. Yeah. Two. That's
two
a
nose
cheat sheet.
Rings,
that's
right?
A cheat sheet. You'll never get it again. So two things.
But you're fraternal twins,
anyway.
Yes.
We are, and we look a lot alike. It's very
yeah.
confusing. But we have legacy organizations in our building. I want to make sure we say that because
yes.
while we are talking about the new things we'd like to do, we definitely want to elevate and continue to honor the legacy organizations.
Ashe.
And the second thing I want to make sure I just say, Ashe, and I love you both to my mom and our father, artists in their own right who really stimulated and gave us the creative freedom that you experienced.
Got them listening online, huh?
Well, our father's listening from above. I'm not sure if my mom is listening, but
yes.
Rebecca Green and Roosevelt Green, thank you both so
much. Well, thank you both for gracing our studio today, and congratulations on all you have accomplished.
Thank you.
You have really made us know who you are and what you're doing, and continue.
Thank you so much to our team at AAACC.
Yes.
Yes.
And when we return, we're going to find out about astrotourism. We're shifting gears. Stay tuned. That's up ahead.